time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now, here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. So thrilled. It's Monday, August 10th, 2020. I was just on with a client, and I was saying, and they go, well, let's launch this one part of the project until September. That's a ways off. And I go, you looked at the calendar, how close September is? My sake, it's 3 weeks away. And anyway, craziness. Monday, August 10th. Yep, it's hot days of summer. We're getting close to this. What a crazy month. I hope you're all doing well, maintaining in these volumes. Anyway, it's good to have you with us, everybody. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I am excited about our hot topic today. I am excited about each one of these we produce each and every week. But Alex Kutchison is here from me, founder and CEO and chief ROI booster. And we're going to be having him in the hot topic segment and looking forward to that. Also, you want to check up on all the podcasts. We're part of industrysyndicate.com. Check them out as well as mortgagemedia.com. Thrilled to have them here. A special shout out on a Tuesday, September 1st, there'll be a webinar at 1 p.m. Central Time with Finastra, and I'll be doing it with Steve Hope. He is Vice President of Mortgage Solutions. We're going to be talking about streamlining the lending process with the digital solutions, as well as reducing operating costs and increasing employee morale and a number of things. So it's a presentation I'm actually doing, and Steve and I are kind of collaboratively doing it, but I picked the topic, and I'm really encouraging all of our listeners to make sure you request a copy of that. There should be a link in our podcast show notes for you to register for the event. So looking forward to having you participate. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. A little thrilled to have them. We've already talked about Finastra and the upcoming webinar that we're going to be doing. Very important to get registered for that, everybody. And then Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, both of these co-ops do a great job of creating competitive advantages for lenders and vendor members. And we have the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, pleased to have our association with them, as well as Indicom. I was just talking to Linda Bomar the other day. They're doing so well. And if you haven't checked that out, check out Indicom, IndeComm.com. You can check it out on our webpage, Lickin' On Lending, and the sponsors, along with all of our sponsors. Check it out, what they have up there for us. Also, Incelerate. This company is helping lenders gain closer relationships by engaging the borrower in a more effective way and exchanging prospects and helping them become borrowers and customers of yours. So we have talked about that on the Hot Topic segment. Boomerang has got that, as well as Incelerate. Check out AinsworthAdvisors.com. It's a board of advisory service. More and more lenders and vendors, as well as Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny, are saying, by the way, who's your advisors? Well, check out our list of advisors that can be on your board of advisors. Check it out at AinsworthAdvisors.com. AinsworthAdvisors.com. Also, AI Assist, which helps you with artificial intelligence on the marketing side of the business. Really cool stuff what they're doing. As well as Celebrity Home Loans, as well as Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Modex, as well as Velma, Vendorsurf, and Vidyard. And also, one of our newest sponsors is Unique. Really excited about our relationship with Unique.com. It ties in with the AI, artificial intelligence. So I got to tell you, we got some really great sponsors. Be sure to go over to our website on our sponsor page and check them all out. Thank you goes out to Alice, Alan, Andy, and Matt for their contributions each and every week. So here is the MBA Mortgage Minute with Rob Van Rapphorst.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. This past weekend, President Trump signed a series of executive orders in response to the growing economic concerns stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic. Those actions will extend the federal moratorium on evictions, extend unemployment benefits, provide a payroll tax holiday, and defer student loan payments through 2020. MBA will continue to monitor further developments as Congress works on the next relief package. Also, last week, the FFIEC provided prudent risk management and consumer protection principles for financial institutions to consider while working with borrowers during the pandemic. MBA remains engaged with the federal banking agencies and is working with members as they support businesses and households during this time. And finally, MBA last week submitted comments to the CFPB regarding the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. In the letter, MBA maintained that the use of disclosures would better serve debtors and collectors than the outright prohibition of filing a claim. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Love to get into more on that. If you go back and listen to Rob's comments this week, last week, and all the weeks, go back to our website, go to our contributors, and we'll be able to give you all that information. Let's run over to, and while you're at the MBA website, again, sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Download an app as well as sign up on their website. So much to be paying attention to as it relates to what's going on in our industry. So let's get over to the TM Spotlight with Les Parker. It's this week's macro view of the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Don't you ever say Fed just walked away. We will always save you. Fed came in like a wrecking ball. Fed never hit so hard with Doug. All Fed wanted was liquidity. All they ever did was wreck this. Fed Chairman Jay Powell may say it's all about COVID-19, but investors in mortgages say it's all about the Fed's view of relationships. The Fed wrecked the symmetry among different mortgage coupons with its orderly moves. Expect short-term deflation to collide with long-term inflation prospects soon, which leads to uneven mood swings in mortgages. All Fed ever did was wreck this. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Good job. I love Gary Canterbone and Les Parker team up to do that every week, and I appreciate what they do. A lot of time and energy goes into that. I love the thought. Good job, Wrecking Ball. Matt Graham's here with us. So always so much fun to have Matt here giving us an update. Got your screen up behind me looking at it. Well, I'm so proud of the screen, Matt, that I have it set up. So every time I'm on a Zoom call, people see it behind me. That's how much fun
there
I love.
There you go.
The screen. Anyway, good job, Matt Graham of MBS Live. Check it out at mbslive.net. N-E-T. All right, Matt, what's going on, man?
How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, what's this wrecking ball stuff that Les talking about?
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. It takes me a while to collect my wits after such a vocal performance. It's really moving, right? It makes me a little bit emotional. So we'll get caught up real quick with the bigger picture in last week, because there are some potentially interesting things going on for the bond market. As we've been talking about, things have been moving in a fairly linear and positive direction for interest rates, both in terms of treasuries and the mortgage market. And coming into last week, they were pushing the boundaries, so to speak. And let's define what boundaries mean real quick. These aren't bad boundaries, good boundaries that they were pushing. In terms of 10-year yields, which of course don't directly dictate mortgage rates, but they definitely speak to broader rate momentum. We had been approaching this floor of 0.57 or 0.58, depending on the day you looked, and that had proven reasonably hard to break. We had a bounce there in early July and then some more bounces in late July. But then as of last week, broke below that. And one thing we like to see when those sorts of levels are broken is for them to then take the opposite roll on. So if it had been a floor, we like to see yields turn around and use it as a ceiling, which they did quite clearly on the third, right around the middle of the day. And the rest of the week was below that. Yields held below that, and it looked like it was going to be a solid week. And it was a solid week. But then what we saw is resistance to the next floor. The next floor, you could call it 0.51 if you want. We don't have enough past precedent or historical bond market movement to really have anything well established underfoot. But we could clearly see that yields didn't want to break any lower. And suddenly can talk about this other kind of boundary, which is a technical boundary that is based on looking at how the days are going. Like, do we have more bad days than good days over a certain time frame? So looking at last week, we had two bigger days of selling versus only one bigger day of buying, and combine that with another moderate day of selling, and the tone was arguably shifting in a weaker direction, or at least saying that the recent strength in bonds was going to consolidate. Consolidation, fancy word for stopping doing whatever it was doing before. So if bonds were trending lower in yield, lower in rate, the consolidation means they're going to go sideways or maybe slightly higher. And that's exactly what they did. And then we have to ask ourselves, why are they doing that? The big news last week was employment-related data. And so it was going to be the case on the first week of any given month, because you have ADP employment on Wednesday, then every week you have jobless claims, and then NFP or the big jobs report on Friday. Very interesting week as far as jobs are concerned, because ADP came out much weaker than expected. And that had that coincided with not necessarily economists, but research desks and traders kind of passing around this whisper number and analysis suggesting that the jobs report could actually come in much weaker than the forecast was calling for. And sometimes you might hear this referred to as a quote unquote whisper number. So the whisper number for NFP non-farm payrolls was very low. Some people were saying it could even be in negative territory. Then ADP comes out and it is much weaker than expected. And people are saying, oh gosh, the jobs report must really be on track to be much weaker than expected. So that all set us up to learn quite a bit about what the bond market and mortgage rates are valuing right now. Because NFP, as we know, if we watched it last week, came out much stronger than expected, completely going against the grain of what ADP had laid out and the whisper number. So here we had a tremendous opportunity for the bond market to react to economic data if it wanted to. And indeed, on the middle of the day on Friday, we saw bond yields move rapidly higher. However, in the immediate wake of the non-farm payrolls report, they just moved higher by a nominal amount and then actually rallied, doing completely the opposite of what you would think they would do if they were reacting to the jobs data. That movement in the middle of the day had a lot more to do with other stuff, including stimulus negotiations and traders getting ready for this week's supply outlook. Now, when we talk about supply, it's almost always a reference to Treasury auctions, basically the flea market where the U.S. government auctions off its Treasury debt to willing buyers. And this can be a market mover, and it can be something that traders get nervous about or that they learn things about. And you would think that that is not necessarily something that should be a surprise, since we know how big those auction amounts are. But if you think about traders being tasked with moving a mountain the same way a trucking company or multiple trucking companies might say, hey, you guys all have to show up and team up to move this mountain. Sure, we know there's a mountain there. We know it's big. We know how many trucks we have, and we know what the job looks like, but you don't really know how well that's going to go until you do it and until you see how other people are doing it. So one of this week's big revelations will be seeing how all of the metaphorical trucking companies will be moving the mountain of Treasury debt off the books or onto their books, and that will give the market a lot of insight as to the appetite that investors have for that Treasury debt. There are two key inflation reports. So per Les's inflation meeting deflation conversation, we'll see if that's actually showing up in the numbers yet. Is all the money the Fed is pumping into the economy ready to show up in July's numbers? Probably not. But as soon as we start to see that show up, it will get markets thinking about not necessarily something like a taper tantrum, but something in that same vein of, gosh, now we have to wonder how the Fed's going to dial back and when they're going to dial back. They said they are going to let inflation run hotter than normal to kind of make up for lost time, as it were. That's the asymmetric inflation target. But we're a ways off from the data raising that red flag. Just be aware that when it is raised, that's something that has historically spooked markets seemingly overnight. It's not a big deal until it is, and then it's a very big deal. Other than that, retail sales on Friday just made a case for the market not caring so much about economic data. So I'm not sure how much we're really interested in that relative to the supply outlook and taking down those auctions and seeing if we get any more stimulus negotiation progress, because of course it is the stimulus more than anything that is driving the variability in the outlook for Treasury supply, since Treasuries are used to pay for the stimulus. So with that, I'll take a breath and see if you have any questions and we'll go from there.
No, that's good. I've been looking at your screen and I'm looking at some of the comments that are going on there. There's so much information on this website. I want to talk about some of the commentaries, like on the MBS live chat. Talk about what people are chatting about. Why is this such a valuable feature? I know it is. I just want our listeners to hear about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just imagine that you could suddenly merge your mortgage office with every other mortgage originator around the country, or thousands of them anyway. Because, of course, not everybody's a member, even though they should be. And to think about anything that you might be curious about that could be answered by other people than you normally have access to. But some of the hot topics right now include turn times and what different lenders are doing with their overlays for certain conditions and how long docs are taking to get out. People are curious about what it would be like to work with a new lender that is trying to get set up with them, and they can get immediate feedback from the rest of the community to see how that's going. So there's a lot of scenario discussions, rate discussions, turn times, and just commiseration. I mean, people are all working 12 to 18 hour days, depending on who you are. And it's nice to know that everybody's in the same boat in that regard. Of course, we talk about rates and locking and floating too, but a lot of guidelines and industry specific commiseration and information sharing.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff on your website. I just love it. So much there. Encourage people to be sure to check it out. And how can they get the extended offer? Go ahead.
You bet. MBSLive.net is the main website that you use to sign up. Tell it you want to start a free trial. And then on the next screen, you'll be able to enter a promo code and just use this code, LOL, Licking on Lending. That'll double your free time and it'll get you around the credit card requirement and streamline that sign up process. So there's really no risk and no reason not to check it out.
Well, I am excited. Some of the listeners that are already giving me feedback on it saying, I absolutely love this system. It is the best. So we appreciate you. I appreciate you being a part of this, and you're doing a great job. And check out the service, folks. Appreciate you, man, so much. Have a great one.
You too.
You bet. Well, I talked to Alice Alvey, and she is not going to be able to be with us today. I'm so sad about it. They had to put their dog down last night, and it's tough. I mean, we've got two old dogs, and so our heart goes out to Andy and her husband. What a great family, and sorry to hear that, but she is doing a great job as a CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home. There are so many exciting things they have going over there. Go back and listen to all of Alice's segments, and you'll love it. There's so much there that you can listen to on our website. So let's get over to Alan Pollack. Alan, good to have you here, friend.
It's always great to be here. I'll remind our listeners, TGIM, right? Which I totally agree. It's if you get up early enough on a Monday and you have your smoothie or yogurt or your coffee or your eggs, it's a great day. It kicks off great. So. And then of course, the Licking on Lending podcast should get you sort of launched into the rest of your day. And speaking of launched, Rocket, right? Rocket Companies did go public. Great picture, ringing the bell and all that wonderful stuff. I don't really have an opinion other than I think it's fantastic for our industry and technology and fintech overall. But I got to tell you, I did find one person online that does a whole bunch of different stuff about the stock market. And it's so funny. I'm not really going to get into what they say. This is really funny. It said they went public on Thursday in the IPO. The company sold 100 million shares at $18, and they started trading on Thursday under the symbol Rocket, which in their imagination, meaning the person that wrote this article, it looks a lot like RECT or wrecked, because he's saying this stock will wreck your portfolio. So if you want to check it out, yeah. And he talks about why, which we won't get into today. He talks about the biggest thing that he says is recent market share gains are mostly through partner networks, which brings in far less revenue than its direct-to-consumer business. And it talks about volatility in the refinance market. So look, we're all in the industry. We get it. Is it still the brand of consumer direct, whether it's through partner networks or not? It absolutely is. And it has been. And they continue to innovate. I don't know if anyone owns a stock and what you're doing with it, but definitely maybe a cool article. It's called Seeking Alpha, if you want to check it out.
And I love that one. Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, great opinions on there. Great stuff in the news. Holy cow. Google rents out goats. So instead of mowing their lawn at their properties, the goats actually take care of it for them.
Okay.
I didn't know that. And then Siri, Alexa, and many others, these devices record your info, but you mm-hmm. can go to the privacy settings and actually review all of your recorded conversations and delete them. You also can turn off the recording at any time. So you can do that in your privacy controls. Yeah, I personally didn't know you can turn off and review your recordings. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I may have to check that out.
Yeah, I have to do that too.
Yeah. And David, I know everyone's probably thinking, man, you guys didn't say anything about TikTok and President Trump, and you're really not going to say very much other than Microsoft is a front runner to buy it, and Twitter could potentially try and merge with it. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the news if you're following it. But TikTok is definitely a news maker right now. August 17th to the 18th, David, I don't know where you're going to be, but I will be visiting, or virtually visiting, the Mortgage Innovators Conference. And actually, our Hot Topic guest will be there as well.
Yeah.
So you want to check it out. I think it's its second year, or it's its third year. Last year was the second. Mortgage Innovators Conference is similar to the Digital Mortgage Conference, except this year, because it's virtual, there is a whole bunch of digital content. And David, it's funny, I was talking with a bunch of folks at Open Close today. I feel that these virtual conferences may bring more attention to a brand rather than being at a conference where you're sort of distracted and meeting and greeting and walking around. I think that you may get the right attention you need in these virtual conferences. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out throughout the year. I get asked all the time, David, what is low code or no code? What is that? Can we do that? Especially there's people that have wanted to build mobile apps and they look at these things. I've been split in the middle between this concept. There's a company out there. Listen to this. It's called Mphasis, M-P-H-A-S-I-S, Digital Risk. It's their technology. There's another company called Mendix, M-E-N-D-I-X. Well, Mendix is a low-code platform, which I'm going to read this directly from their advertisement. It drives fast, effective digitalization. They especially do it in financial services. Get this, Mphasis, the digital risk platform that has now leveraged Mendix for the last 2 years, did $1.7 trillion in secondary mortgage loans through this Mendix-built application. So this low-code or no-code system. Mendix only requires one developer in .NET, and you can develop all kinds of integrations and apps with it. Mendix, by the way, is a Siemens business, and they have processed an enormous amount of technology through their platform. So if you want to try, if you're not really a technology company and you want to try this low-code platform, you want to go check out Mendix, M-E-N-D-I-X. Doesn't mean that I support it, but you want to check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
And David, last week we talked really briefly about CIO versus CTO, and we talked about how a CIO is focused on managing the infrastructure of business operations and really focused even on the vendors and all of the vendor management and the procurement and the security infrastructure of your organization. What is a CTO, right? And of course, it's a bigger conversation, but I've got just a couple points for those of you that are in this conversational topic in your own organization today. A CTO is charged with thinking about how your technology is going to be used by your customers and how you're going to become more efficient with that technology. And so if you say that you're a lender and you're a technology company, then you definitely need to understand your customer experience and how you're going to better serve those customers. But keep in mind, your customers are also your loan officers, your operational staff, not just borrowers. And so you need to be thinking about innovation, strong technology. You need that visionary who's taking accountability for how the organization is going to be wired, how these technologies are going to actually work, not just the procurement that the CIO has done, but how you're going to put them together and what is the staff. And if you're building some of your own technology, what is that strategy? And more than likely as a CTO, you'll be building that strategy with your CIO, and you'll also be focusing on success metrics and how do you continue to innovate. But look backwards. How is it performing? How does it work on your systems? Are you creating those operational efficiencies? And then, of course, are you reporting and tracking and managing that with your CIO? So a CTO is an extremely important role outside of the CIO should you call yourselves a technology company. Now, that's just a quick high level, David. Of course, it goes in more depth. But for that high level, that's what it is. Just one last important point to mention to everybody is that the next week we'll be talking about how to engage better with borrowers with simple ways to include technology where you don't need a CTO. So we'll talk about that next week. Otherwise, have a fantastic week and looking forward to our Hot Topic guest.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions that are coming in on text messages right now that I want to.
Sure.
And we have time, yeah. But we're getting a couple of questions in on the CTO and the CIO. And so the question is, CIOs look forward, ? CTOs look at what you have.
A great way to sort of internalize it is a CIO can be responsible for technologies that run a business internally.
Right.
And a CTO is responsible for technologies that grow the business externally.
Ah, grow the business externally. Okay. So do you have both CTOs and CIOs in the same company? Is another question that just came in. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So a lot of people used to have an IT director or a vice president of IT that sort of was in charge of everything. Just because of security alone and the need to make sure that procurement of your vendors, management of security, and that's not just security of your vendors, but all the data you're collecting and how you're internalizing and using it, just that alone is enough to keep a CIO busy. So if you think about that, plus all the infrastructure of your organization, laptops, are you still printing things? And all those other things, compliance, and then what you want to build and how to manage those projects with your vendors, there's no way that one IT director could do it all.
I don't know why these are coming in, but it's really good. And we have just a minute, so let's ask this one. Do both of them report up to another C-level executive? Are they equal in the organization? Now, would like to get Adam's thought. Does one report to the other, or do they both report to to another position or the CEO?
Yeah, it's common that the CTO can report to the CIO, depending on the size of the organization. And if the CTO is hired later on, if you have, as a lending institution, have had an IT director or a CTO from the get-go, you're going to have trouble making that person report to somebody. Tech people are very weird how they interact. But yes, it's 50-50. Sometimes it's a C-level position reporting to executive management, and sometimes it reports to the CIO.
Interesting. That finishes up the mortgage first 30 minutes of the update. Now we're going to go right into the hot topic segment. Without further ado,
we have Alex Kutchinson in here. Kutchinson, K-U-T-S-I-S-H-I-N, in case you're wondering how to spell that. So the first time I saw that, I go, oh, Alex Kutchinson. And I just, you know, rub your hand across your mouth. But anyway, Alex, good to have you here. You are the CEO, Chief ROI Booster for Sales Boomerang. You are Sales Boomerang. Good to have you here, friend. Excited to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
It is so much fun, and I love talking to you for many, many reasons. But last week we had Megan Anderson on, who was talking about the shift and that's going on in the market. And she also talked about how I was really interested in interviewing Megan, because Megan's one of those people that's come from obscurity to being really high profile, and you too share that unique honor. So I'm really excited to hear about your journey and talk about Buzz. You've got a lot going on everywhere. What is everyone talking about? What are you guys up to? And why are you doing it now? Talk about this.
I love your show. Thanks for having me. So, you know, the big topic that we're talking about right now is, and we've always been a retention company, but what we're doing for the industry is we're putting on this challenge. It's called Attention to Retention Challenge. And the reason we're doing it right now is Attention to Retention Challenge, okay? It's a five-day challenge. It's a virtual challenge. We're doing 1 hour a day for 5 days. It's only for executives. And it's coming out now and not before, because we've never been in an environment like this before where people that were doing 100 loans a month are doing 300 loans a month, or people that were doing 500 are doing 1,000 loans, right? It's the amount of customers you're getting into your customer base right now is growing dramatically. And what we want to do in this Attention to Retention Challenge is we want to teach the executives at their companies about retention, what it means, how to utilize it, and truly give them a behind, pull the curtain back, let them have access to the team, right? And find out how we've been able to do this, how our clients have been able to generate $16.3 billion in deals from their own database, from their customers, and actually give the executives access to our NASA engineer who built the technology to help them understand how they can do some of this on their own, access to our customer success team and have them understand what they should be focusing on with their loan officers and their teams about retention, to our product manager, to our VP of product that will show them the importance of you were just talking about a CTO and you were talking about CIOs and how they bring technology together. Well, we will give these executives direct access to our VP of product so that he can explain directly what you should be focusing on in tech to get the most out of retention. And so that's our core focus right now, is because all of these databases are growing dramatically. And how do you make the most of them? Because when this environment ends, it's not going to slow down. It's going to fall off a cliff. The way it went up like a hot air balloon, you're going to turn that hot air balloon off and it's going to go straight to the bottom. So how do you take advantage of all the people in your database moving forward?
That is really, really interesting. I've heard people say that you're crazy. Aren't you concerned that people will do this on their own, or worse yet, your competition may use some of your strategies? And you have a lot of them.
We have had people literally call us crazy for giving out our secrets. We're all about lifting the industry, right? We're all about giving back to the industry so the entire industry can go up. And so are we concerned that people are going to do this on their own? No. As a matter of fact, we're doing this so that lenders can start to do this on their own. Right. Of course, we'd love to be their partner and do this with them, but we want to give them all the insights, all the tools, all the resources so they can start to focus on doing these things for themselves and understand the true value of loyalty and customer retention. As far as competitors go, we took a page out of Elon Musk's book. Elon Musk decided to, a few years back, take his patent and say, I don't want to own this patent anymore. I don't want to be the only one that has the access to build the best batteries for cars and homes. I don't want to do that. I want anyone in the world to be able to do this because it helps the world. And we feel the exact same way. If you get access to this information and you can use it and you can change the industry and make it better and help everyone, fantastic. More power to you. We are not concerned with that. Our goal is to give the executives the tools and resources they need to show their team how to be the best loyalty-based lender and retention-based lender, and not just transactional, which is what the industry's been trying to get away from for years.
I think that's awesome. I was just watching some Elon Musk videos last night, and I love how he thinks. Like he was saying, how long are you going to stay on as CEO? He says, as long as it takes to make a difference. And when I see that this, whether it be SpaceX or the, you know, Tesla, the car, or the solar system, he says, when I see this having traction, then I'll drop back and reconsider. I just love that attitude. There's so much about that guy that I respect. I see a lot of similarities between you and Elon. And
I'll take that compliment all day long.
I mean, I just want people to think like that. Let's talk about your confidence. You seem very confident in what you guys are doing. And where does this confidence come from?
We built the most amazing team. Honestly, and look, I'm going to pull back the curtain right now. And this is something that we share with our team. We have Friday calls with our team every single week. And one of the promises we make to our team is as follows. We will always put the best team on the field. Always. That means that we're going to put the best people in every position that specialize in what they do. And so our confidence comes from two things, our people and our existing success that we've already shown the industry. We are just geeking out on borrower retention, borrower experience, borrower loyalty, LO retention, LO experience, LO loyalty, right? And so because of the success that we've had and because of the team that we keep building, look, I'll give you an example, right? In May, and we may have talked about this a little bit the other week. In May of 2019, we had 9 full-time employees, 9. Today, we have 37. And every person on the team is the best at what they do in the industry, period. And so our confidence comes from our success and the ability to bring on the best people to specialize in the things that we're doing. And most important, I think above all of that, is we're talking about Elon Musk. Why is he so confident? It's his vision. It's his ability to execute on his vision. We have the same thing. We see it. We have a vision and we can execute on it.
Execution. I mean, vision is one thing. Execution is another. Watching SpaceX dock and seeing those guys go through, dock to the space station and go through that little passageway. It was an emotional moment. It was a proud moment for the whole country. When you look at where the future is, let's talk about the future. What would you say the future looks like for mortgage lending from your perspective?
So in the way we see the future of this industry, it is about planning the next loan with your borrower. It's about planning the next loan with your borrower. One of the things that plagues this industry is the moment a loan is finished, nobody knows what comes next. The loan officer, the borrower, the lender, nobody knows what happens next. Then it becomes this aggressive approach to marketing and communications and saying, hey, we just have to market to them, then they'll come back to us. But we believe that the approach is planning. Instead of marketing, marketing is still important. You're going to continue to do that. But the future of this is planning and getting your borrowers to understand what they need, and they know what they need, and merging those things together intelligently and in an automated fashion. So again, this attention to retention challenge is all about that. How do you retain a customer? How do you make them loyal? You show them that you understand not what you've done for them today, but how you're going to help them get into a better financial vehicle tomorrow. How you're going to help them when they're at a 2.5% interest rate and rates go up to 4% in the future and they need to do something, that how to plan around that, that you will be there to guide them and plan for them for their next best loan. Because look, we know what a loan is. It is a financial vehicle. It really is. And so how do you help them stay on track and have the best financial vehicle without guessing, but knowing confidently that, hey, we did this loan for you today. The next best loan is one of these three. And the moment you're qualified for one of those three, we will give you a call, or you will get a signal from us. You will get alert. You will get a notification, whatever you want to call it. You will know when it's time for your next best loan. And until you get those notifications, there's nothing better out there for you. We know because we have the intelligence to know.
We're starting to get some questions in from some of our listeners. One of the questions is driving this artificial intelligence, or is it just working with the data?
Great question. So right now, we're using more machine learning than AI, okay?
Yep.
Because we're still learning. And the entire industry is still learning. So the way you get to artificial intelligence is when you've done enough learning that you can then help the system understand what you would do on your own, right? So for instance, when you talk about artificial intelligence, what you're saying is, hey, the brain inside your head works in a mysterious way. It's very fascinating. How can we help the computer, the system, think like you would think and replicate your way of thinking, right? And so we're still teaching the systems to do that. We're still learning ourselves. So right now we're implementing machine learning, and from there we will get into AI. But right now it's just getting a good grasp of understanding all the data, all the events. And the cool part about that question is we're going to marry everything together that is historical for the consumer, historical for the lender, historical for the loan products that are out there. And then only then can you say, hey, now figure out without any involvement, sales boomerang brain, what's the next best thing for us as the lender and for the borrower, right? Or for the borrower and the lender.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. And anyone wanting to have a greater distinction and get into the difference between, there's three levels. Machine learning is one of them. AI is the another. But there's a more basic level. And it's, I think it's a rules base, if I recall correctly. We had Gabe Minton wanting to go in and learn more about this. Go back and listen to the podcast where we had Gabe Minton on. But the last time we had him on was on that very topic. Let's talk about the attention to retention, the five-day challenge. And you've got a promotion going on right now. And so, first of all, who should be attending this?
So this is for executives only. This is for CEOs, vice presidents, presidents, VPs of production, VPs of sales, your CMOs. This is who this is for, because this has to be a top-down approach. And the only people that should attend this are those that can influence the loyalty and retention mentality inside the entire organization. So that's who it's designed for, the executives and the leaders of the company.
So what is the cost? How can people register for this, learn more, website?
Absolutely. So it's very simple. You're going to salesboomerang.com/challenge. Okay. That's where you go to register. We are only opening this up to 30 executives, but it's a buddy system. Right. So it's 30 executives, but they can bring one buddy with them, another executive from the team. So you get one ticket, but you can split it between you and your cohort. And the cost is $600 or $597, as we came up with a very unique price. And here's the thing that's important about the price. The price is not for us to make money. This is not a profit center for us at all. The price is to make sure that only the ones that want to focus on loyalty and retention show up, and that this isn't a free lunch and 1,000 people register but never show up. So this is designed for 30 people, and the price tag just eliminates everyone that's not really committed to loyalty or retention. And then because of you, David, because how much you love your fans and the industry, anyone that hears this show and signs up, they can put in a discount code to take $200 off for the same two people, right? So you still get the main person, and then the other one comes with you, and all they have to do is Lickin' on Lending, right? LOL 200, and they can knock off $200. Yep. And then just to make sure, I don't think we mentioned the date, it starts on August 17th. So it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday. 1 hour a day for 5 days with a one with a day break in between each of the sessions. So it should not get in the way of your day. You're going to come away. It's well over $10,000 worth of value. Plus, you really can't put a price tag on loyalty and retention.
You've talked about the growth within Sales Boomerang within your company. I mean, it's been all organic, if I understand. Yeah. So I always admire that about you. Yeah, but through just a lot of word of mouth. And through your network of people like myself, just talking about it constantly.
It's been an amazing experience to see how important retention is for lenders. And you never know when you put out a product. I mean, we launched beta in February of 2017, and then we went live in July of 2017. And now we have nearly 100 lenders using the program. We're going to have close to 115 or 120 before the end of the year. It's just amazing. And the best part is, and I think the reason it's grown organically, David, is simply it resonates with their own mission. This is something people have had their eye on and have not had the ability to execute the way they wish they would. And so there's very little forced sales here. It's the kind of a simple concept to understand that your loan officers want to know if their customers want their help again, and we make that effortless. So it's been really cool. But thank you for the recognition, and thank you. We're truly humbled by this.
You've done a great, great, great job. I love this whole concept where our industry has been, quite honestly, abysmal might be the best word. And so I love the fact that you're doing this. And then I just love your product. And I love the innovation that goes on there, the whole thing and the energy. And then if you're looking, folks, to find a way how to market yourself, just get to know Alex. This guy is a marketing sales genius. If you're looking to bring a product to market, there's no one else quite like Alex. Well, what's your message? What's this? I mean, he's an idea minute kind of guy. But it's a great way to just pick up some fresh ideas. I appreciate you so much for taking time to be here. Executives, you do not want to miss this. Sign up for it. And we have it posted on our website, Dynamic Link. So you can go sign up there. And the code is there. So go to LinkedInLending.com. You'll see it all there. Appreciate you, Alex, so much for what you've done for so many
companies.
Thank you
so much.
And then really, it really comes down to helping the consumer. And that's what I love the best. Is helping those consumers not get overlooked. And because how easy is we get busy, we get concerned with COVID, and borrowers who could, in fact, refinance. I was talking to a friend of mine who does a lot of consumer direct, and he was saying how many, there was a ridiculous number, I'll get it wrong, but it was millions and millions and millions of people with an interest rate that is over 4% that could refinance right now. People say, well, the refinance is going to die out at some point in time. Well, rates are falling. Matt talks about it all the time on the website, seeing what's happening. I know we're testing the highest today on the 10-year treasury. But overall, it seems like we got a downward pressure. How are you going to get a hold of your customers? You got to do the 5-day challenge, everybody. Strongly recommend it. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So good to have you here. Really do appreciate you. And I appreciate the friendship. And more importantly, they just need to get to know you. Love it.
Thanks so much, David. Right back at you and everything you do for us.
Next week, Alex, I got another one of our mutual friends, Josh Friend, is going to be back on. He's going to be talking about his product. I love what Incelerate does, and they're doing some really great things, again, on the engagement. So they use your technology to get the connection, to get them back and communicating, and then use Incelerate to really get the connection and engagement going. And that's what I love. So it'll be a good 1-2 punch here. We got some great stuff going on the podcast. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. Thank you.
Yeah. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as CMLA, which is Community Mortgage Lenders of America, the MBA, Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, Mobility RE, and Modex, and a whole group of others. Check out all of our sponsors on our website, and we appreciate you being here. Again, don't miss next week where we have Josh Friend coming on the podcast. We heard today how Alex is saying how you can engage on this, begin to check out the attention to retention, the 5-day challenge. Be sure to check it out and sign up for it. Don't just check it out. We talked about Elon Musk execution. Execute. Sign up on that link that we have on our website. Appreciate you being here, everybody. Have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week. Thanks for listening.